The car sat where no one expected it to be. Not abandoned, not hidden. Just there, quiet, sealed, wrong. Inside was Christina Powell, a mother who had stopped answering her phone and never came home. By the time police opened the door, the question was no longer where she was. It was how she ended up here, without anyone stopping it. Hours earlier, her life still had routine. Messages sent, plans implied, nothing loud enough to trigger alarms. Then the silence stretched. Family waited. Time moved. Concern turned sharp. What investigators would later piece together began with what was missed. Subtle shifts. Private stress, conversations that ended without follow-up. In the days ahead, evidence would speak where she could not. But in this moment, standing beside the car, there was only a body. A clock that had run too long, and the weight of realizing this did not have to end this way. Chapter 1. Disappearance and Discovery. On the morning Christina Powell did not come home, nothing appeared broken from the outside. The day began the way most of her days did, with responsibility pressing in before the sun had fully settled into the sky. She was a mother. That fact shaped everything. Time was measured in school hours, errands, messages that needed replies. People around her expected reliability, and she usually delivered it without drama. Christina Powell was last known to be going about her routine in Texas, 2022. There was no public sign of fear, no emergency call, no visible attempt to run. The early hours passed with small, ordinary actions that later became evidence. A phone pinged a tower. A message was sent. A location was logged. Each detail looked harmless on its own. By midday, the pattern shifted. Calls went unanswered. Text messages stayed unread. At first, those close to her gave it room. She was busy. She might have needed space. Mothers disappear for hours sometimes. Life pulls people in directions that do not require explanation. But as the afternoon stretched on, the silence stopped feeling casual. Concern did not arrive all at once. It crept. A phone was checked again. A message was resent. Someone tried to picture where she might be and could not land on an answer that felt right. Christina did not vanish without notice. She did not cut off contact without a reason. The longer the quiet lasted, the more it pressed on the people who knew her habits. By evening, the worry hardened into something else. Family members compared notes. Each conversation ended with the same gap. No one had seen her. No one had heard her voice. No explanation filled the space she left behind. At that point, waiting no longer felt responsible. It felt dangerous. Law enforcement was contacted and a missing person report was initiated. Officers approached the situation with caution. Adults are allowed to go missing. Not every disappearance signals violence. Still, the clock mattered. The first questions focused on basics. When was she last seen? When was she last heard from? Where was she expected to be? Officers documented the last confirmed contact. They pulled phone data. They traced her movements as best they could with the information available in the early hours. The answers were incomplete. Her trail narrowed faster than expected. There was no clear destination beyond her last known location. Search efforts began in a limited scope. Patrol units canvassed areas tied to her routine. Hospitals were checked. Detention centers were contacted. Nothing turned up. As the night deepened, the absence took on weight. Every hour that passed without contact reduced the number of benign explanations. The next day shifted the case from concern to crisis. Her vehicle was located not far from where she had last been known to travel. It was not burned, not stripped, not submerged. It was intact, sitting where it could be seen. The placement raised questions immediately. Whoever left it there had not gone to great lengths to conceal it. When officers approached the car, they noticed details that did not fit a simple abandonment. Doors locked, windows closed, no obvious signs of a breakdown. The interior was not visible from a distance, and protocol required caution. Backup was requested. The scene was secured. Opening the vehicle ended the search. Christina Powell was inside. She was unresponsive. Emergency responders confirmed what no one wanted to hear. She was deceased. In that moment, the case stopped being about finding a missing person and became a death investigation. The tone changed. The procedures tightened. What had been a welfare concern became a potential homicide scene. Officers documented everything before the car was moved, the position of the vehicle, the condition of the doors and windows, the visible state of the interior. Each observation was logged without interpretation. Facts only. At this stage, conclusions were dangerous. The area around the car was searched for signs of a struggle or evidence discarded nearby. Nothing obvious announced itself. There were no shattered windows, no clear bloodstains visible from outside. The quiet of the scene was unsettling. Violence often leaves noise behind. This did not. The vehicle was towed for forensic processing. The body was transported for autopsy. Investigators began the careful work of reconstructing the final hours of Christina's life without her voice to guide them. Family members were notified. The words landed with finality. The hope that had lingered, thin but present, collapsed. Shock set in first, followed by disbelief. Questions came faster than answers. How? When? Why? Investigators could not provide much in that moment. They explained procedures, they explained timelines, they explained that an autopsy would determine cause and manner of death. They avoided speculation. What mattered was preserving evidence and establishing truth. As news of the discovery spread, attention turned backward. Every interaction Christina had in the days leading up to her disappearance was re-examined. Conversations that once seemed ordinary were replayed with urgency. People searched their memories for anything they might have missed. Investigators worked the same way. They built a timeline from fragments, phone records, location data, surveillance footage from nearby businesses. Each source offered a partial view. Together, they formed a narrowing corridor of time. One question dominated the early investigation. Did Christina enter that car knowing she would not leave it alive? At this stage, the answer was unknown. There were no public statements about cause of death yet, no suspects named, no arrests made, only the certainty that a mother was dead and that the circumstances were not natural. The location of the vehicle raised additional concerns. It was close enough to routine routes to suggest familiarity, but distant enough to create separation from witnesses. That balance hinted at intent. Investigators noted it without announcing conclusions. The case file grew quickly. Photos, logs, reports. Each page represented another attempt to speak for someone who could no longer explain what happened to her. What stood out most in those first days was not chaos, but absence. The absence of alarms, the absence of witnesses, the absence of a clear trigger point where someone intervened. Christina's distress, whatever form it took, had moved through the world quietly. That silence became part of the case. By the end of the first chapter of the investigation, one fact was undeniable. Christina Powell did not simply disappear. She was found where someone had left her. And between the last ordinary moment of her day and the discovery of her body, something irreversible had occurred. The question investigators now faced was not whether a crime had taken place, but how it unfolded without being seen, and who benefited from the time no one noticed she was in trouble. Chapter 2. Investigation and Pressure. The autopsy did not bring relief. It brought definition. Medical examiners established that Christina Powell's death was not accidental and not natural. The manner was ruled a homicide. The cause pointed to violence applied with intent. That determination shifted the investigation into a narrower, heavier lane. Someone had acted. Someone had time. Investigators now worked backward with purpose. The vehicle became the center of gravity. Forensic teams processed it inch by inch. Fibers were collected. Surfaces were swabbed. The interior was photographed under controlled light. What looked clean to the naked eye often held traces invisible at first glance. Phone records filled in gaps time could not erase. Christina's device showed movement until it did not. Location data traced a path that made sense until it stopped making sense. The final pings placed her in areas tied to familiarity, not randomness. That mattered. It suggested trust or coercion, not chance. Surveillance footage added pressure without clarity. Cameras caught the car moving through known routes. Timestamps aligned with phone data, tightening the window. But the footage did not show who was inside during the final stretch. Reflections obscured faces, distance erased detail. The evidence spoke in fragments. Investigators turned to the people closest to her. Interviews began with routine questions. Who had she argued with? Who had she confided in? Who last saw her calm and who last saw her strained? These conversations were not confrontational at first, they were observational. Patterns emerged slowly. Christina had been under stress, not the kind that announces itself loudly, but the kind that settles into posture and tone. Friends described changes, shorter replies, missed plans, moments of distraction that did not match her usual focus, None of it seemed criminal at the time. In hindsight, everything felt louder. One relationship drew early attention, not because of a single red flag, but because of accumulation. Investigators documented communication patterns, frequency, timing, tone. Messages that read neutral on the surface sometimes carried imbalance underneath. Control is not always explicit. Sometimes it hides an expectation. No arrest was made at this stage. Law enforcement was careful. They labeled persons of interest, not suspects. The difference mattered. Allegations were separated from facts. Pressure was applied through procedure, not accusation. Forensic results from the vehicle returned in stages. Some findings confirmed presence, others ruled it out. What did not appear was just as important as what did. There were no signs of a public struggle, no evidence suggesting a random attack. The absence reinforced the idea that whatever happened occurred within a controlled space. Investigators examined the timeline again, this time with tighter margins. The window between Christina's last known communication and the estimated time of death narrowed to hours. That compression increased urgency. Fewer hours meant fewer variables. Fewer variables meant fewer people. Phone records revealed moments where contact ceased abruptly. Messages sent to Christina went unanswered. Outgoing activity stopped. The silence was not gradual. It was sudden. That abrupt stop suggested interruption, not choice. Interviews grew more pointed. Alibis were checked. Statements were compared against data. Minor inconsistencies surfaced. Most were explainable. A few were not. Investigators did not rush. They documented and waited. At the same time, they faced obstacles. Some surveillance footage was overwritten. Some locations lacked cameras entirely. Memory degraded. People misremembered times. Pressure mounted as the trail threatened to cool. The family watched from the outside, living inside a loop of updates that never felt complete. Each briefing ended with caution. Each day without an arrest carried weight. Grief mixed with fear that answers might never fully arrive. One investigative turn came from a detail initially overlooked, a small inconsistency in movement that did not match Christina's habits, a route she rarely took at that hour, a stop that served no purpose unless someone else directed it. That deviation mattered. Investigators re-examined that segment of the timeline. They overlaid phone data with vehicle movement. The overlap revealed coordination rather than coincidence. Someone else's schedule aligned too neatly. This shift reframed earlier interviews. Statements that once felt neutral now carried context. The pressure increased, quietly but steadily. Law enforcement requested follow-up conversations. The tone remained professional, but the questions sharpened. Still, there was no dramatic break, no confession, no sudden arrest. Instead, the case tightened like a vise. Each piece of evidence reduced space. Each verified fact closed another door. By the end of the second phase, investigators knew more about how Christina Powell's final hours unfolded, but not yet enough to resolve the case publicly. They understood the setting. They understood the timing. They understood the level of intent involved. What they needed now was the one piece that could no longer be explained away, the proof that would turn a person of interest into a suspect, the evidence that would survive scrutiny and speak clearly in court. Until that arrived, the case remained suspended between knowing and proving. The pressure did not ease. It concentrated. And somewhere within the evidence already collected, investigators believed the truth was waiting to be recognized. Chapter 3, Resolution and Aftermath. The break did not come with drama. It came with confirmation. Investigators returned to evidence they already had, not because something new appeared, but because pressure changes how facts are read. The timeline had been narrowed as far as it could go. The vehicle movement was understood. The phone data was stable. What remained was alignment. One person's account no longer fit cleanly inside the verified window. Law enforcement moved carefully. They reviewed statements again, this time side by side with digital records. Small discrepancies that once felt human now carried consequence. A claimed time did not match a device record. A stated location conflicted with movement data. Each inconsistency alone could be dismissed. Together, they formed a pattern that could not. Investigators sought corroboration before escalation. Additional warrants were obtained. Devices were examined more deeply. Messages that had seemed casual were recontextualized. Control did not announce itself loudly in the records. It appeared through timing, expectation, and pressure applied indirectly. The evidentiary threshold was crossed when physical findings aligned with the digital trail. Forensic results connected presence to the vehicle. The findings did not rely on interpretation. They relied on measurable facts. At that point, investigators were no longer assembling a theory. They were documenting a sequence. A suspect was identified based on proven evidence. Law enforcement action followed procedure, not impulse. An arrest was made. Charges reflected the findings of the investigation and the ruling of the medical examiner. Allegations became formal accusations supported by documentation. For the family, the moment landed without relief. Answers do not restore what is gone. They only stop the waiting. Grief does not pause for justice. It absorbs it and keeps moving. Court proceedings unfolded in stages. Evidence was presented. Timelines were reconstructed for a jury. The same details investigators had studied for months were now spoken aloud in a public setting. Each fact carried weight. Each confirmation tightened the narrative. The legal outcome reflected the strength of the case. The decision rested on proven facts, not speculation. Christina Powell's death was acknowledged as a homicide caused by intentional action. Responsibility was assigned through the legal system. Afterward, attention turned to what could not be corrected. Family members spoke about missed signs, not because they believed blame belonged to them, but because silence leaves space for questions that never resolve. They described a woman who carried stress quietly, a mother who did not broadcast distress, someone whose strength masked her vulnerability. Investigators acknowledged the same truth from a professional angle. The case did not fail because of negligence. It unfolded because warning signs often look ordinary in real time. Emotional isolation does not trigger alarms. Control exercised subtly does not attract witnesses. Christina's story became a reminder of how easily danger hides in routine. There was no chaotic scene, no desperate call captured on record, no public moment of crisis. The harm occurred within familiar space during ordinary hours under conditions that did not appear threatening until it was too late. In the aftermath, conversations shifted toward prevention. Advocates emphasized listening differently, not just to words but to changes, withdrawal, altered routines, the quiet signs that precede escalation. Law enforcement agencies reviewed internal protocols, not because the case revealed failure, but because each investigation offers instruction, the use of digital timelines, the value of early data preservation, the importance of patience when pressure demands speed. Christina Powell's name remained attached to a case file, but her impact extended beyond it. Her death exposed the cost of unnoticed distress. It demonstrated how control can operate without spectacle and how violence does not always announce itself with chaos. The final records closed with formality, evidence logged, sentences recorded, appeals noted where applicable. The system did what it is designed to do. What remained was memory. For those who knew her, Christina was not a case. She was a presence that no longer occupied space. A voice no longer answered, a routine permanently interrupted. The resolution of the investigation did not fill that absence. It only defined it. The final lesson of the case did not belong solely to law enforcement or the courts. It belonged to everyone who moves through daily life, assuming silence equals safety. Christina's story stands as proof that danger can move quietly and that the absence of noise does not mean the absence of harm. The cost of realizing that truth came too late for her.